In the third and final part of this special series, we catch up with Dr. Nikki Small as she discusses the Perth and Kinross Remembers project.
The other really common theme in our Perth and Kinross Remembers project work has been the idea of community. The Perth and Kinross Remembers project itself has become a little community in its own right. We all know one another. We've shared our work in seminars and in print, and that work is now part of a legacy collection in Perth and Kinross Archive. But the wider community has also been at the heart of all the other projects that have been carried on. And we asked our groups and researchers and people who we'd engaged with what their research and project work had meant to them in terms of their community. Did people feel they had found new information but also preserved a little bit of their past? Or maybe their project brought people together and gave them a common interest and shared heritage? And Laura's going to tell us what this was about for them from Flowers of the Forest.
Overall, the project was so important in creating links with the local community. I know that the project has touched many people and we've made some great friends along the way. The heritage of Perth Academy is now preserved for all to see, and I hope that the pupils here continue to learn about our fallen soldiers for years to come.
For Comrie, they felt there was a real legacy for the village. They now have two replica books that the Craig family presented to the village. The originals were presented to John Craig by the village originally, so they've given these replicas back to the town. And these are currently on display at the White Church Community Centre in Comrie. And these books give a really superb snapshot in time of all those who lived in Comrie and the parish. And of course, they also have a lasting monument because the Victoria Cross commemorative paving stone was placed at the War Memorial Garden. So it's there too for people to see. So if you visit the War Memorial in Comrie, you'll see that paving stone there too. For Creef Remembers, they published their project work. This is an enduring record of the family's stories, pictures and photographs of family items from World War I. The book, the exhibition, all their associated events, and they all created an awareness of World War I and recorded a really important part of local history and culture. They also highlighted in their feedback to us that an award-winning diorama of a section of the Passchendaele battlefield, which was created for the exhibition by a local artist, was a big highlight for them. It was a real feature. And they also pointed out that the many photographs of the World War I artefacts remain as this permanent record within the community. So they really feel that's important. Creef Remembers purchased display cases for the exhibition, which were later donated for community use. So that's another aspect of the legacy aspect of the project work. Practical things, the things that they used are being reused within their community, so they feel that's really important. Creef Remembers were really proud of bringing together, that's their words, they were really proud of bringing together a number of local and other organisations and individuals. So they were really working collaboratively. So they really highlighted that it really made them get involved with other groups, societies, organisations, individuals. And they're really delighted about the lasting impact of their work. One other project participant has actually become a published local author. Ray Taylor was intrigued by the names on his local war memorial and started out to find out a little bit more. But his research has led him to really develop his research skills and publish articles and books. So in his own words, Ray says, and these are his own words, starting to write Meagles War Dead developed what had been a peripheral personal interest in World War I into a significant area of interest and an area now of knowledge and expertise. Ray also said it's provided a permanent record of information which otherwise could have been lost, and it's helped promote interest in local family and military history locally. So that's brilliant. Ray really has worked hard, and the material he's created, he feels, will support others researching different aspects of local family military history. It doesn't just have to be about military. You see, he was looking at families and got a wider picture of farms and people living in the town and the village round about in the rural area. So he's built up a picture of a lot of things that were happening then, and that would help the family historian and the local historian, as well as the military historian, if you like. So that's really interesting as well. And Ray really highlighted in his feedback how he had learned different skills in his research, presentational skills, academic work even, and that all came from this interest and getting involved with Perth and Kinross Remembers way back, and that's wonderful. I'm going to finish our podcast today with the most wonderful recollections from one of our participants, Andy Middlemiss. Now, Andy's a retired soldier who served for 35 years. He was with us all the way through as someone who came to our meetings in and around 2014, and he supported Perth and Castro members in various ways, and not least in his enthusiasm for all we do. He's a very enthusiastic member, they all are, but Andy's particularly so. Now, he'd been involved in various projects, but the one he organised was the plan that throughout the centenary years, 2014, 2018, he and other members of the King's Own Scottish Borderers Association would set out to retrace the footsteps and visit the sites of where their regimental forefathers fought and fell. Now, this was taking them from Gallipoli 1915 to the Somme, through Passchendaele and the Hundred Day Offensive. Andy was aware that the Regimental Museum in Berwick held war diaries for the period, and so he and the others used these to retrace in detail the lives of those involved. This is something a bit new for them. Overall, Andy ran four battlefield tours, and he also wrote accompanying pamphlets and booklets to go with these, as well as actually looking at songs and poems of the conflict, which was a bit different too. Andy described the experience of the tours for us, and also how he and others all learned about archive research in his own words. And these are his own words, he said. It was about being savvy using the war diaries and sources, about asking the right questions, and just realising that there's so much information available. So that was one of the big revelations for them, that they didn't know that there was so much out there that could support the kind of work that they were doing. Andy went on to say that their project work really meant the world to all of those who took part and helped organise it. Those are his words. It really meant the world to them. He recalled that at Gallipoli they spent 5 days pretty much in tears. It was so far away in such appalling conditions and ultimately so fruitless. It was really an emotional experience, and he says that they all felt the benefits. He says, and again I quote, "It changed us all for the better. It made us appreciate our country and our families more." In essence, Andy really summed up what a lot of people conveyed about their feelings on being part of Perth and Kinross Remembers. And I'll just give you a wee quote from Andy now.
"Seeing the tears flowing down the faces of still old soldiers on many occasions during these expeditions showed why it was important to keep stories alive and to tell the young people. On three of the tours, we took three generations, school children, serving soldiers and veterans. We all learned from each other and shared what it meant to us. As one of the memorials says, when you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Tell them of us. That's what it's all about, and that's why it's important."
Well, some really moving experiences there from just some of our participants and groups involved in Perth and Kinross Remembers. There are now dedicated Perth and Kinross Remembers web pages on the Culture PK website, which highlight all the work done over the Great War centenary years. All project groups and individuals will feature here, whole list of those of people who participated and donated their material to the Perth and Kinross Remembers legacy collection. It means a huge amount to us to share the reflections of some of those we've worked with over the past few years. It is years we've been working on all of this, which is quite astounding. And we know they're all pleased their work has found a home. For most of the people that were involved, they came to the A.K. Bell Library and our other libraries across Perth and Kinross and our archive, Perth and Kinross Council Archive. They came to find the books, the material, the images, the newspapers, and the help and support in carrying out their projects. And Culture Perth and Kinross is delighted that all of these people, through Perth and Kinross Remembers, has added significantly to the collections they first looked for. That's what's astounding. Things that we've kept in the library and the archive for 100 years. People have done the work now, and their work has been added to that. And the idea that their work will now be there in our legacy collection for future researchers really is a tangible, lasting First World War legacy. Great tribute to Perth and Kinross Remembers.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you're able to support Culture Perth and Kinross in any way, please consider donating to our Book Heroes campaign. A link to this campaign can be found on our website and in the show notes. Thanks again.